wonderful day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Stephan Yah with you, and we're going to be reading from 1 Kings. And, well, we are catching up here on the feast and getting a little bit of the details out of the way, that housekeeping. 1 Kings chapter 3 now, though, as we start out really fresh. And it's just a wonderful time here for everybody. We hope and pray, anyway. Solomon chapter, Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And if you'd like, you could continue all the way through that to verse 15. But we're going to be a little bit concise and just read two or three verses out. 1 Kings 3:3, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of Yahweh and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of Yahweh until those days. And Solomon loved Yahweh, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So there you have it, 1 Kings 3:3. And then in chapter 8, as we turn over here in our scriptures, to chapter 8, verse 1, And Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh out of the city of David, which is Zion. And in verse 57 now, as we turn again in the scriptures, here in the so-called Old Testament verse, chapter 8, verse 57, Yahweh our Elohim be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, was their prayer. Yahweh our Elohim, or the Mighty One, be with us. And he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And at that time, in verse 65 now, at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, before Yahweh our Elohim, kept the feast 7 days, and 7 days, even 14 days. So they wanted to be double blessed and just stay there for another 7 days at the feast. Actually, this particular time of this particular year, we here at the feast are going to be here about a total of 11 days, one for preparation, one for leaving at the beginning and end there. And it turns out that the feast day comes up and ends next to the seventh-day Sabbath day. And so we don't want to be packing on the seventh-day Sabbath and returning to our homes and the villages and so on. So we're staying here at the feast day another day, and then leaving on the first day of the week that way. Some rabbis like to use backup rules, but actually we don't see any backup or secret rules anywhere in Scripture, even though things are very, very detailed in the Torah, even about the instructions of the tabernacle, as I always say. And on the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart. Joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that Yahweh had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. And they're so thankful for the heritage that was passed down from King David. And then we see in the next chapter, that's chapter 9, verse 2, that Yahweh appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And in verse 6, Yahweh is talking, and he said, But if you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other Elohim and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, out of the land, and this house which I have set apart for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And a comment here that in America, so it is to this day, as America and Israel, not America is not a substitute for Israel, but Israel, many Israelites and a great majority dwell here in the land. And this proverb, and the byword is coming to pass now in America at this time. And it could be the very, very last time. It could be that we're heading for that great tribulation someday very soon. And the first trumpet will be, and the seals will open, and the trumpet will be blown. Deuteronomy now. In Devarim, or Deuteronomy in the Torah, chapter 17, verse 14. So they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and then also having a double feast and going on for another 7 days. But there is some compromise going on in the camp up there on the hills and in Deuteronomy 17. And once again, there's more instruction, more warnings here, more admonitions to walk uprightly. And he said, when thou art come into the land which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations around me do. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, then he shall write him a copy of this Torah, in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. So that includes all of us, men and women. As kings and priests, we need to be doing the duties that are our responsibility. So we need to read daily if possible. But these kings shall read therein all the days of their life, that that he may learn to fear Yahweh, his Elohim, and keep all the words of this Torah and law and these statutes to do them. All right, now here's the example as we turn on to the book of Psalms now in chapter 35 in Tehillim, and Psalm, the 35th Psalm and the 25th verse. And more admonition again to walk uprightly. Let them not say in their hearts, oh, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together. So we're talking about even the enemy in our land presently. They might make a great boast. I hear a lot of boasting and hot air going on. But we do pray that Yahweh will especially reveal himself to them, to his special people, and also reach out to those others, those unsaved, or those who are neutral, sitting on the fence. Yahweh said, whoever is for me, whoever is not against me is for me, right? We are for Yahweh, for his word, not just for the person or personality of the Messiah and Yahusha. The word became flesh and dwelt with us, so we want him to tabernacle and dwell in our hearts. Psalm 35, 25, let them not say in their hearts, let the enemy not say, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together, that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that those that magnify themselves against me. Let them, and then verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let Yahweh be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So there's the example for us that we want to follow on in the footsteps that Yahweh has laid out for us, to walk in Yahweh's truth, in his law. So next, we will be going to Ecclesiastes soon, but let's go up to chapter 62 now, to the book of Psalms, chapter 62, verse 5, and David wails, "My soul, wait only upon Elohim, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In Elohim is my salvation and my beauty. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in Elohim. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Elohim is a refuge for us." Selah. And verse 12. "Also unto thee, O Yahweh, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." And in the text on the internet, I'm making an insertion here, because it had that substitute, O Lord, and it should be O Yahweh, if you look at the text. Then in the book of Ecclesiastes, and you might want to read chapter 1 of the book of Ecclesiastes, then we'll pick it up here at chapter 2 and verse 26. Ecclesiastes 2:26, "For Elohim giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before Yahweh. This also," Solomon wrote, "this also is vanity and vexation of spirit." So, who is on Yahweh's side? We want to be, yes, we are wanting to be on Yahweh's side. Ecclesiastes, next chapter, chapter 3. And I think we'll read all first 8 verses. Verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens." So Yahweh does these things not inadvertently, not accidentally, or at a strategic time or something going by the statistics, but no, he has an appointed season for everything, even for his second coming, and also for these Moeds and Hagags, these feasts that we go up and have a pilgrimage with Yahweh. There is a season. There's a Moed, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, I don't think that believes, that sounds like hunting, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, you know, roll away those rocks, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rent, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of shalom. That was from Ecclesiastes. And once again, the third chapter. Then back to 1 Kings. And we want to turn here for a few verses. Actually, you could read the first 14 verses. And we're just moving back and forth. But this shows the compromise. There's just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when a little bit of that ecumenical spirit gets in and we start saying, well, maybe we could justify going with the neo-evangelicals and this and that, they've got such a good program, you know, then that opens the gate to and opens the barn door to compromise. So was ended 1 Kings. Well, you could read chapter 6, would be another one to reference, 1 Kings 6, all of them. Then chapter 7, verse 51 in 1 Kings. "So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of Yahweh, and Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated. Even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of Yahweh." And you know that Solomon and the kings were commanded to not multiply horses. But here we find there in chapter 10 now, down here in, let's see, verse 28. And Solomon had horses brought up out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. A chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, a horse for 150 shekels. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria, they did bring them out by their means. And that was by their means. So we see this compromise going on, even with our governments. Lots of compromise. So I'm going to have to pause here when I get to 1 John 3. We are moving to that chapter next. Very fine outline. Some Church of God gentlemen who shared these things. So going by some of those notes today on this feast day, and hope you're well fed and extremely in such a good attitude to lift up your voice and your hands and your spirit and your heart to praise the Almighty Yahweh. Yod-Heh Vav-Heh Yahweh. 1 John 3, and let's check and make sure things are, things are being recorded there. And it, and the Apostle John wrote, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of Yahweh, and it does not yet appear, doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man has the hope in him. Everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. But, on the other hand now, whosoever committeth sin transgresses the Torah. For sin is the transgression of the Torah, of the law," it says in English. "And to know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin," speaking of our Messiah, Yahushua, and some have a different pronunciation for the Messiah. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him." So that word, "whosoever," surely meaneth me, applies this. This as an application to every one who compromises. "Whoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him." Thank you. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." That ties in with verse 10 and a couple of verses here. Verse 8, "Though he that committeth sin is of the devil." So there's another, you could say, another whosoever. "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of Yahweh does not commit sin." So there's this motto that goes around saying, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But what does the word say? That let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. "Whosoever is born of Yahweh does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him." So Yahweh's seed remains in you, and you cannot sin because you are born of Yahweh. So that wouldn't make me technically a sinner if he dwells in me. I might inadvertently commit a sin, unintentionally do something against Yahweh's word. "In this the children of Yahweh are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked man, and slew his brother, and he slew. Wherefore? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of Yahweh, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yahusha laid down his life. The Messiah did that for you on Calvary's tree 2,000 years ago. Whosoever has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shuts up his heart of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Yahweh in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, not necessarily just in word, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Yahweh is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward Yahweh. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Yahusha HaMashiach, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Then into Thessalonians is our next witness from Scripture, and talking about the times of tribulation to come. And so we'll turn there in our New Testaments, right before Timothy. But we want to go to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. And referring now to the pastor's notes there again. 2 Thessalonians 2, okay. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Savior, Yahusha, the Messiah, Mashiach, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Messiah is at hand. Don't be troubled about that. When people die, they go to the grave, and the dead know nothing, just like King David, who is described in the book of Acts chapter 2 and in three places, that his sepulcher is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is still with us to this day. So don't believe that someone says that the resurrection has already passed. No, the day of Messiah it will be at hand. Shortly, we hope. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Yahweh, or that is worshipped, so that he as Elohim sits in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is God or Elohim. So that's the anti-Messiah there. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Do you receive the love of the truth? That they might be saved. Very, very important also that we are aware that the seven trumpets must first sound before Messiah returns to take his elect. And that's found in the book of the Revelation, I think. It could be in chapter 7, as well as here in this book of Thessalonians and in Timothy. We're looking for that end time, but we're getting very close, aren't we? But I can't proclaim that today is the day, or that we're already in it, because even the first trump and the signs in the heavens have not yet occurred. Also see Matthew 24, other things that need to occur before Yahweh's second coming. No pre-tribulation rapture is what I meant to say. Yeshayahu chapter 26, Isaiah 26. And in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda. We have a strong city, salvation with Yahweh, or with Elohim, a point for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh, Yahweh is everlasting strength. And then finally, in 3 John chapter 5, 3 John 5, 2, by this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and guard and observe his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we guard and observe his commandments, and his commandments are not difficult to carry. For whosoever is born of Yahweh overcomes the world. Whosoever overcomes the world in Yahweh. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, even our belief in his word. Who is he who overcomes the world other than he who believes that Yahusha is the son of Yahweh? This is he who came by water and blood, even Messiah, Yahusha HaMashiach, the Messiah, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Ruach, yes, and we need to, of course, be immersed into the name of Yahusha HaMashiach and into the Father by the Spirit. So this is he who came by water and blood, even Yahusha the Messiah, not by water only, but by water and blood. The blood of Messiah, they're the symbolic taking once a year, annually at Passover, of the elements at that Passover supper, sometimes called Last Supper. It wasn't really the last one, because Paul picks it up again in 1 Corinthians 5. Let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the malice of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of spirit, the unleavened bread of truth, anyway, for sure. But that's not quoting it word for word. And it is the Ruach who testifies, because the Ruach is truth. So there you have it on this wonderful day, the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles, or Booths. Some of them, several names that are used here on this feast day. That, yes, we worship Yahweh, and that he dwells in our booth and in our vessels, or in the body of each and every believer, where the Spirit dwells in us. Yahweh is with us. And may he be with you and with one another today as we lift him up in praise. Now let's have some great singing with one another, and some great orchestra music in the background, too, as we praise Yahweh and not be getting into the old person's rubble, as there was a song by Brown Bannister, the old man's rubble, or the young man, or the young woman's rubble. We don't want to be into Babylon and have affiliation with all those churches and with the world. Get the worldliness out of us, and put Yahweh's Spirit and his truth, his word, right into our spirits, into our mind and hearts, and keeping his covenant, Hebrews 8:10, to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the covenant of Yahweh be with us each and every day. Here on Sukkot, lift up and praise Yahweh. Praise his name. Hallel to Yahweh. Worship him today.
And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart. as ever.